Amen. Hey, if you've enjoyed that music this morning, can you say amen? Hey, that wasn't bad. I got to tell you, I enjoyed that music today. And I'm really glad I'm back in Pennsylvania. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Why I'm really glad, because of what I'm going to preach on today has something to do with Pennsylvania, believe it or not. However, I travel all over the world. I've been to 28 different countries. I travel to different youth conferences, camps, all over the country constantly. And so does my son. My oldest son, Ben, is an apologist. So he goes around and gives apologies because he's such a terrible preacher. No. He defends the faith. So he goes around, he debates anywhere, anyone, atheists, he's on TV, he does all kinds of stuff, creation, gender distinction, purity, and why we believe what we believe. So one day, Ben and I are talking, and Ben's been everywhere, man. And he said to me, he said, "Hey, Dad, where's your favorite place to preach?" And I thought for a minute, I don't know if this is a trick question or what, you know. And I said, well, I think my favorite place to preach is wherever I'm at. Wherever I'm at, that's like my favorite place. And he says, "Oh, Dad, come on. What's your favorite place to preach?" I said, "I don't know. I like everywhere I go. He said, "Well, I'm going to tell you what my favorite place to preach is." I said, "Where's that?" He said, "The Bahamas. I love preaching in the Bahamas." Well, when he said that, I've been to the Bahamas like 3-4 times, done a camp down there, did all kinds of government schools. I've been to Bahamas a lot. And I went, "Yeah, my favorite too." Now you're thinking, "Yeah, the beaches." Yeah, no. The reason why my favorite place to preach is the Bahamas is because the way that they receive the word, they are so receptive. I mean, the Bahamians are like no other people when you're preaching to them. Matter of fact, when you're preaching in the Bahamas, the Bahamians, and you want an amen, and you're going along, you say, "I need an amen," you do one of these. And when you do one of these, I mean, everyone goes amen. So let's see how you do today. Can you give me a
amen?
Oh man, that sounds like Montana, okay? Can you give me a
amen?
All right, and then when you're in the message, I mean, you're going, man. I mean, you're in it, and it's going good. And you got like, "Hey, man, this is a good one." You do one of these. You know what that is? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you give me a?
Praise the Lord.
Can you give me a?
Amen.
All right, it's coming. And then when you're in your message and you got your point, I mean, you got the point. This is the one. You do one of these. You know what that is? No, this was praise God, okay? This is hallelujah. This is hallelujah. Everyone together, can you give me a?
Praise the
Lord. That's praise the Lord. That's praise the Lord. Can you give me a?
Amen.
Can you give me a?
Hallelujah.
All right, I'm feeling like I'm in the Bahamas. All right.
Hallelujah.
You wish you were in the Bahamas?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, all right. So let me tell you about Pennsylvania. I'm 23 years old. I'm traveling as a college rep for a Christian college. I'm 23 years old. I graduated from Bible college. Now, I got to tell you something real quick. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 12 years old. I was saved out of a Catholic background. Basically, I was saved out of a religion that said, be good, do good, look good. And at the end of your life, if your good outweighs your bad, you're going to get to go to heaven. Well, I was 12 years old. And I realized, this ain't working real well. This ain't working real well. I'm not being good, I'm not looking good, and I'm not doing good. And you know what? I didn't need a religion. I needed a relationship. And at 12 years of age, I got with a group of Baptist young people that had something that I did not have. And I said, I don't know what those kids got, but those young people got something I want. I went on a church retreat with an independent Baptist church, and I got to tell you, I wanted what those teenagers had. November 8th, coming up on my spiritual birthday, November 8th, 1969, on November 8th, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. But I got to tell you what happened. Two major things happened in my life. Number one, I had all this Catholicism. So even though I was saved by grace, I still had this performance thing going on, that I still had to do stuff to be saved. Number two, I didn't live for God. I got saved at 12, guys, but I like the people of Israel. They got saved out of Egypt, but they wandered for 40 years. Praise God, I didn't wander for 40 years, but 6 years of my life, I did not live for the Lord. If you would have known Shetler at 15 years of age, I went to public school. I was the president of the student body in my high school. If you would have known Shetler at 15, 16, 17, you would have said, yeah, there's no way he's a Christian. I believe, guys, that I trusted Christ at 12, but I did not evidence it at all to anybody till I got to Bible college. And there was no evidence at all. So what happens then? Okay, now you need to hear this. This did not happen every day. This did not happen every week. This did not happen every month. But about once a year, I'd finally hear some good preaching, maybe on the rapture, maybe on hell, maybe just a convicting message. And here's what I would say: God, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. God, I don't know. Maybe I never did it. I mean, there's no evidence of it. I'm not living right. Maybe I've never been saved. And about once a year or so, I'd get off by myself, and I'd say, God, if I've never trusted you before, I want to ask you to be my Savior right now. And I don't know, but I think probably a dozen times in my life, I prayed to receive Christ. Guys, this goes on into Bible college. And again, I'm not telling you about every day or every month, but man, someone would come at Bible college, and they preach on the rapture, and I'm going, man, I'm just not sure. I don't know whether I'm saved or not. And I'd go back to the prayer room, and I knelt down. I remember this three times in college that I said, God, if I've never asked you before, right now I'm asking you, would you save me? Lord, if I've never been saved, God, I don't know, maybe I didn't say the right words. I don't remember what I said. I don't know what, God, right now I'm asking you, would you save me? And that would happen. I am traveling as a college rep for a Christian college, trying to get young. I've already graduated now from Bible college. I'm 23 years old, and I'm at a Christian school in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And I had done two schools that day. I didn't have my devotions yet. I didn't really care to, really. But that afternoon, I asked them, could I go to your library and just spend some time? I didn't have another service till the next day, and I was in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. And I went, and I read a passage of scripture that nobody had ever shown me before. I had never seen it in my entire life. And I went, when I read this, I said, God, why has nobody ever preached this? Why have I never heard this before? I want every one of you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 5. I'm 23 years old. I'm a college rep. I have graduated from Bible college, and I am still struggling with assurance of salvation. And I come to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now listen to this, young people. It's unbelievable. Listen to this, verse 5. And beside this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. Okay, that's your job, Shetler. That's your job, Jimbo. This is you now. Giving all diligence. So this is up to you. Add to your faith. Add to my faith. Virtue. I had, that day in my devotions, I had a little Wiest word study with me, a little booklet on 2 Peter, and it gave me definitions of words. So I looked it up. I looked up virtue, moral excellence, moral purity, okay? 23 years old, I'm struggling in my thought life. I'm struggling. I got impure thoughts. I don't have virtue. Add to your faith virtue, moral excellence, moral purity. Yeah, that ain't happening. And to virtue, knowledge. I'm going to come back to this word in a little bit, but it has to do with Gnoskos, has to do not only with a bunch of facts and how many verses you memorize, but actual the experience of God's word. I'll explain that in a second. But when I read that, I go like, yeah, I ain't got that. I'm not living out what I know. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. The day before, I had been in Philadelphia, and I got all upset with the traffic. And I remembered that. And I was really, I was just ticked off, and I was an angry person. I was traveling by myself. I came into the Christian school, and I put the nice face on, but I was struggling with temperance, self-control. And to temperance, patience. Two Greek words, remain under. To remain under means steadfast endurance. You don't quit. I'm going, man, I start something, I quit. I make a decision, I never stick with it. I'm going through this list, and I'm going like, whoa, I am not doing well at all. And the patience, godliness. I said, well, and that means God-likeness and Jesus and me. And then, yeah, that ain't happening in my life right now. Oh, I come into the Christian school, and they all think, oh, what a great little Christian guy. But I'm going, there is no godliness. And brotherly kindness. You're nice to people. You don't bully people. You're kind. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm nice to the teenagers in the school I'm going to. And the brotherly kindness, charity. I love how the King James takes that word agape and sometimes translates it love when it's a noun and translates it charity when it's a verb. And I like that because this was a verb, agape love. Do you forgive people? No, I got some stuff in my heart. I'm bitter towards this person or that person or whatever. I wasn't treated well or whatever. Okay, so I go through the list, and I'm going like, yeah, this is not good. I read verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I go like, well, yeah, but I don't have the knowledge of Jesus Christ because I ain't got these things. And then I read verse 9. Young person, I want every person, and if you're sitting next to someone that doesn't have a copy of the scriptures, you share yours with you right now. I was 23 years old, graduate from Bible college. I had never heard this in my entire life, that this could happen. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, well, that would have been me, is blind and cannot see afar off. And hath everyone together. What's the next word? And hath what? Forgotten. Now, hey, that was terrible. Give it to me now. He hath what? Forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Brother Shetler, what does that mean? He forgot he was saved. He forgot. Was this guy saved? Yeah. He was purged from his old sins, but he what? Everyone together. He what? He forgot it. Nobody ever told me that you could be a child of God and forget that you were saved. Nobody ever told me that. I mean, I thought, well, if I don't think I'm saved, I must not be saved. My problem was not salvation. My problem was sanctification. I wasn't living right. And then, look at this. Look at this. Wherefore the rather, okay, but if he lacketh these things, is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. This is up to you, man, to make your calling and election. Everyone together, what's the next word? Sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Brother Shetler, is this talking about works, salvation? Of course not. That would go against the entire word of God. This isn't talking about works, salvation. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're going to heaven, it's not because of you. It is because what the Son of God did for you on that cross. It is an absolute grace, but it is an absolute gift by unmerited grace. If you are saved, that is totally the work of Jesus Christ. But whether or not you know you're saved depends upon the way you live. Your salvation, that's a God thing. Your assurance, that's your responsibility. Matter of fact, let me ask you something. Have you ever prayed to God give you assurance of salvation? Oh, Brother Scheller, I can't tell you how many times I've asked God, if I'm saved, give me assurance. That prayer will never be answered. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Whether or not you have assurance is your responsibility. whether or not you're saved. That's God's responsibility. You say, Brother Shaw, not positive I'm understanding you. I know that. So let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us. And we're going to do something. Hey, you ever heard this verse before? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly what? Rightly dividing. Did you ever think about that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, we're going to divide God's word today. Because I'm telling you, people are so messed up about assurance of salvation and eternal security. And today, we're going to talk about two separate doctrines. We're going to talk very quickly about eternal security, and then we're going to talk about this assurance of salvation. And I'm going to tell you, October 20th, 2022, you guys are going to hear something I never heard when I was a teenager. It would have helped me greatly. Okay, so I'll tell you what we got here. We got people in this room that are saved but don't know it. We got people in this room that are not saved, and they don't know it either. By the way, if you're the devil, if you're in here and you're lost and you're on your way to hell, you know what the devil's trying to get you to think? You're okay, man. You're as good as anyone else in that school. You're fine. If you're lost, the devil's trying to get you to think that you're saved. And if you're in here and you're saved, the devil's trying to get you to think that you're lost. Brother Schiller, No, you can understand that. If you're lost, the devil's trying to get you to think that you're what? Saved. And if you're saved, the devil's trying to get you to think that you're what? You're lost. So we're gonna deal with this today. And October 20th, 2022, and by the way, even if you got this settled, I guarantee you, you will come across people that need to hear what you're gonna hear today, that you could help somebody else. So let's ask God to be with us today. We're going to take two doctrines and we're going to separate them for good. And they're never going to be back together again. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth today. Father, I pray that every young person here would understand and that the Spirit of God would speak to them. There are young people that need to get right with you today, but they are your child. And Father, I pray that they would absolutely understand that today, but they got stuff in their life that they need to get taken care of, or they're going to forget that they were purged. And then, Lord, excuse me, Father, and then there's young people in here that never have trusted Christ. They've compared themselves to other students. They've just thought because they go to the Christian school, be their parents or whatever, but they've never trusted you. I pray today that they will. Now, Lord, it's going to take some time to do this. I pray that the Spirit of God will move the message, and I pray the young people will listen intently to a doctrinal message that will change their life and will help them the rest of their life. So, Lord, I cannot do what has to got to happen now. And so I just pray you'll overtake in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Can you give me a? I can finally have assurance. All right, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to say, I'm listening to this message. Look at the person on the other side and said, you need this. Okay, so here we go. Everyone, stay standing. Stay standing. We're going to call this chair for the rest of the message. We're going to call this chair eternal security. Everyone together, what's this chair? Oh, come on. What's this chair?
Eternal security. Amen.
And this chair over here, we're going to call this chair assurance of salvation. Everyone together, what's this?
Assurance of salvation. Praise the Lord.
And today we are never again going to mix eternal security with assurance of salvation.
Hallelujah.
All right, have a seat. We're ready to go, man. We're ready to go. This is a lot better than going to school, man. Amen. Let's talk about everyone together. What's this over here? What's this one here? Okay, now, I got six arguments for eternal security, but we ain't got the time. So I'm going to give you four quick ones, okay? Are you ready? Well, they're kind of quick. But anyway, I'm going to give you four things on eternal security. So what is eternal security? That's God's job. Whether or not you are saved depends on God, not you. Whether or not you are eternally secure is a thing of God, not you. So let me give you four arguments about eternal security. Number one, the family argument. But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when you get saved and you trust Christ as your Savior, you get a new family. And that family is the family of God. Now hear this, because you don't hear this much. God is not the father of all mankind. No. He is not Abba to every human soul. He is only the father to those who have received his son. If you've never received Jesus, you're not a part of the family of God. You cannot call God your father. You can call him your creator, and he created you in the image of God. But I'm telling you right now, you may go to the Christian school with other people, and you may call each other brother and sister. But if you've never trusted Christ, God is not your father until you receive Jesus Christ as your son. Now, I have three boys, Ben, Luke, and Drew. I was in the room the day that all three of those boys were born. Our oldest son, Ben, 24 hours labor. Whoa. Merrily went through it. And I was her coach. You know, we did the breathing thing, the Lamaze thing. You know, we didn't. I was her coach. Yeah, that lasted for about an hour, you know. And so, Ben, I was there. I was the first person to see Ben. I was the first person to hold Ben. I cut Ben's umbilical cord. I was there when Ben was born. Okay, so let me ask you something. What if I get a phone call from my son, Ben? Hey, guys, just a minute. Ben's calling me. Let me get take this. Hey, Ben, how you doing? And you hear the conversation. And it says, I am not Ben. Hey, come on, man. Ben, what you doing today? You are not my father. What are you talking about? What's the deal, Ben? I have decided you are no longer my father. I am changing my name. You will never hear from me again. This will be the last time I call from this phone number. I have changed my name. I don't ever want to talk to you again, and you are no longer my father. Okay, everyone, help me out. Is Ben still my child? No, again, you did not hear what I just said. Ben just said that he's no longer my son. Ben just said he never wants to hear from me again, and Ben just said that he's not my child anymore and that he's changed his name. And now, everyone together, is Ben still my son? I heard one no. How can Ben still be my son? Because he was what? Born into my family. Are you catching this? Guys, if that's true with physical family, it's even more true in your spiritual family. If you have ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you are a child of God. Now, I didn't say you're acting like a child of God. Hey, there were times I went to Walmart and I go, I have no idea whose kids those are, man. I don't know. They're not mine. They're not a Shetler. That's not a way a Shetler on I am. Okay, but they were still mine because they were born into my family. And I want you to know when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born from above. You are born again, and you are born into a new family. You do not have the father of lies as your daddy anymore. You have now Jesus Christ, God the Father, as your Abba Father. If you have ever been saved, you have a new family, and nobody can ever take you out of that family. And God's people said, amen. Let me give you argument number two. I call it the power argument, the power argument. Okay, so the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 27 through 29, that no man shall pluck you out of my hands. Once you are in the hands of God, no man shall pluck you out. So if I could, for just a minute, I want to talk about Ben again. Now, I'm the baby of the family. How many of you are the baby of the family? You're the baby of the family. Okay, not too many, but there's a few of you. Okay, I'm the baby of the family. And by a lot, I mean, like, my brother's like 15 years older than me. I have a sister 9 years older than me. And I have another sister that's 7 years older than me. I wasn't supposed to happen, okay? So I didn't know anything about babies because I was the baby of the family. Mara Lee, my wife, she's the oldest. How many of you are the oldest in the family? Okay, so she's the oldest. And she had five siblings.
So she took care of all of them, you know. But when Ben was born, I didn't know what to do. I put a football in the crib and I said, "Let's go, man." I don't know. It goes, you know. And so Ben's about a year old or so, and he's just starting to walk. And I remember one day I said, "Hey, Marilee, I'm gonna take Ben for a little walk." She said, "You be careful." "Oh, yeah, I got him. It's my boy. I got this." So I go out and I put my hand down. It's the cutest thing in the world. I put my hand down and he reaches up and he grabs my little pinky. He grabs my little pinky and we start walking. And we're going along the little chubby legs, you know, moving back and forth. His too. And and we're walking, you know, we're going along. And we're walking and he stepped on something. I don't know what he stepped on. I don't know if it was a stick, a stone, a crack in the concrete. I don't know. But he stepped on something. And when he did, he lost his balance. And he did the worst thing that could have ever happened. He let go. And when he let go, he fell flat on his face. If you saw him today, you know why he would look the way that he looks. No, but he fell flat on his face. He skinned his nose. He skinned his forehead. He skinned his chin. He's bleeding. He's screaming. I pick him up. I bring him back in. Marilee grabs him from me. She said, "You don't know what you're doing. You guys, you stay away from him. You don't know what you're doing. You're never going to go, ah." About 2 weeks later, Marilee went out shopping. She said, "You got Ben." I said, "Yeah, okay. You still got the scabs." Marilee leaves. I said, "Hey, Ben, we'll go for a walk? Walk, Daddy. Walk, Daddy." I said, "Come on, let's go." So we go outside. I put my hand out. He reaches up and grabs my little pinky. I go, "Yeah, no." And I reach down, and I grab his wrist. Now, we got a different ball game, students. It's no longer Ben holding on to Dad. Now it's Dad holding on to Ben. And I got to tell you what, we start walking, and he starts to fall. He starts to fall. I just pick him up. And we go, he starts walking, he falls, and I got him. I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't going nowhere because I'm holding him. Well, let me tell you something about your salvation. Your salvation isn't about you holding on to God. Your salvation is God holding on to you. And you ain't going nowhere, young person. If you have ever trusted Christ as your Savior, he's got you. And you ain't never slipping, man. Hey, I have been out of the will of God in my life, but I have never been out of the hands of God. I want to tell you, man, once you are gripped by the Lord, you are eternally secure. The family argument, the power argument. You know what? Time, let me just give you one more. The eternal argument. Okay, so I'm with my father-in-law. He was a Jewish missionary. He's in heaven now, but he was a Jewish missionary for over 60 years, lived in Israel, worked with the Israelis. And one day we were talking. I liked my father-in-law. He was like my dad. And the dad I never had. And so he was talking to me one day. He said, "Hey, Jim, I got a question for you." I said, "Yeah, Dad, go." He said, "How long is everlasting?" I said, "Ooh, how long is everlasting?" "Like everlasting is eternal." "Oh, good, Jim. How long is eternal?" "Yeah. Eternal is like forever. Eternal is like forever. It's forever and ever." "Hey, good, Jim. How long's forever?" "Everlasting. It's everlasting." You know, kind of go around the circle there. I don't know. And then he asked this question. He said, "Jim, can everlasting life ever end?" And I said, "No. If everlasting life ever ends, it's not everlasting." That's right. Everybody stop for just a moment. I have talked to dear people in the Free Will Baptist movement that I know are saved, guys. I know they are. I have talked to Pentecostals that I know that they're on their way to heaven, but you know something? They don't know it. And they believe that they can lose their salvation. Now, let me tell you something. If you ever got everlasting life, you got to still get it, man. You got it. You can never lose everlasting life, because if you ever lost everlasting life, it wasn't everlasting. Aren't you glad when you got saved, you didn't get probationary life? Because I'm telling you, I have broken probation so many times. I'm telling you right now, and it doesn't just make a good point to preach. Folks, If you could lose your salvation, Shetler has lost it. But my salvation is not dependent on me. My salvation is dependent on being born into the family of God, being held by God, and having and getting everlasting life. Are you all with me? So if you ever were saved, if you ever trusted Christ as your Savior, what do you got still? You got eternal security. You are still saved. Well, Brother Shetler, that's not my problem. My problem isn't with, I know, but at least let's make sure we divide the two. Because people that put ever eternal security with assurance of salvation messes everything up. That's eternal security. Everyone together, let me see how I'm doing as a teacher. Everyone together, who does it depend on for eternal security? Who?
God.
Oh, that was good. That was good. It depends on God. And everyone said?
Hallelujah.
Ooh. Okay, all right, now, real quickly, as we close up, I want to talk about assurance of salvation, and we kind of started already, so let's go back to our passage really quick. Let's look at 2 Peter, and then I want to do one other thing about making sure that you're saved. All right, so let's look at these real quick. Add to your, everyone together, add to your what?
Faith.
Add to your faith. Okay, so, Marilee and I lived in paradise for 6.5 years. It was called Santa Maria, California. Unbelievable. I have never lived. Now, I lived in northern Michigan on Lake Michigan and Lake Leelanau, and I'm just telling you, it was absolutely beautiful. I lived for 31 years in Pensacola, Florida, Sugar White Beaches, a resort town. It was absolutely beautiful, but I'm going to tell you something. It ain't nothing like Santa Maria, California. Santa Maria, California never gets colder than 50 degrees, and it never gets hotter than 85. I'd be like every day, 310 days out of the year, it's sunny in Santa Maria, California. Everything on planet Earth grows in Santa Maria, California. Everything. You can go from cauliflowers to peaches. It doesn't matter what it is. If it grows on planet Earth, it grows in Santa Maria Valley. It's just got that temperate, moderate climate. It was paradise, guys. It was beautiful. And I'll tell you the biggest thing it had, there is no place on Earth that produces more strawberries than Santa Maria Valley. And so I had strawberries. We had all church members who said, Pastor, can you use any more strawberries? Oh, okay, just a little bit. You know, I mean, I had strawberries, and I like strawberries. So, I mean, it was Driscoll strawberries, those big strawberries you dip in chocolate, Santa Maria Valley. Okay, I mean, it's just, I'm telling you, it's the place to live. I took my wife from there, and she's got a green thumb. She loves the gardening, and whatever she touches grows, and especially in Santa Maria. And I took her to Lancaster, California. Can I tell you what Lancaster is? The armpit of California, man. Now, I love West Coast Baptist College, greatest student body in all of America, but I'm telling you, Antelope Valley. There's no antelope in Antelope Valley. There's nothing that's alive in Antelope Valley. So I moved my wife to Lancaster. Whoa, she was not happy. I'm just telling you. But I did something. Come on now. Come on. I did something. I bought her a 3,500 square foot house. That's a big house, man. That's a big home. Hey, hey, hey. I put a swimming pool in the backyard. Come on. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? My wife was not happy. Honey, 4 bedrooms. Guys, 4 baths. 4 baths, 4 bedrooms. 3,500 square foot home. What is your problem, Marilee? And she said, hey, Jim, you got to put stuff in the house. What is wrong with you? Marilee, I just bought you this house and already you want to start adding to it. Jim, we got to have a bed. Oh, yeah, you know, that is true. We do we do have to add a bed. So, okay, we'll get a bed. Jim, refrigerator. Oh, yeah, we got to add a refrigerator. Jim, couch, yeah. TV, Jim, football. Yeah, 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 we got to have TV. We got to. And you know what we started doing, everyone? You know what we started doing? We started adding to our house. You hear this. Some of you have been saved for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And you have never added anything to your faith.
You got your house of faith. I'm going to heaven. And you ain't got nothing in it. You have never added to your faith. Now, let me tell you something, young person. If you're in here and you have never added to your faith, you are struggling on whether or not you're a child of God. You got this empty house. Nothing's in it, man. You have never lived for God in your entire life, but you made some profession when you were 9 years old, but you have never added to your faith. So let me tell you something. It is time for you to grow up, and it's time for you to start adding to your faith. And you know what you add? Number one, virtue. Yeah, and that's moral purity. And some of you, you're 13 years old, and you are screwed up with what you're looking at every night. And you know what? You think you're getting away with it. No, nobody's noticing. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows. You take a can of soda and you open that can of soda. You don't touch it. You don't drink it. You don't do anything to it. It will never be the same. And you give it about a week, it'll be as flat as anything. And I'm telling you right now, you open yourself to pornography and you will never be the same. Nobody knows, and I'm not hurting anyone. It's just like me. It's a little thing that I just do. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm still pure. I'm still a virgin. Not in your mind. Not in your mind. You have opened up to pornography, and you're a mess. And you know, you're 14, and it's kind of cute, and you're curious. So come visit me as a college student that wants to serve God at 21. And they say, Dr. Shetler, I started looking when I was 11. And I didn't think anything of it. And now I can't even have a relationship with a girl because my mind is so messed up. And by the way, this is amazing. Bible college. I've been dealing with as many girls just about in pornography as guys. So it ain't a guy thing no more. Some of you girls are struggling because of where you're going and what you're looking at. There's no virtue. You have not added anything to your faith. I trusted the Lord when I was 7, and you're looking at trash right now. You're going to forget that you were purged from your old sins. Some of you are looking at such perverted things, you've even said to yourself, I don't know how I could be a Christian and look at what I look at. Yeah, that's a good question to ask. How can you be a child of God and look at that? If you do not add virtue to your house of faith, you're going to wonder whether or not you're a child of God. And add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. So what does that mean, knowledge? I know 39 Bible verses. Okay, that is not what I'm talking about. It isn't how many Bible verses you know. It's how many Bible verses you live. The word gnoskos isn't an intellectual assent. It is an experiential knowledge. Some of you guys have been around the Bible all of your life, and you've never lived the Bible. You don't know the word because you've never lived the word. I can quote 44 verses. That's not what I'm talking about. I can give you all the books of the Bible. That's not what I'm talking about. Has the Bible changed you? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. I want everyone to hear this. Self-control. Now, let me tell you this. Never in my 65 years of life have I ever seen a generation, and there's so many cool things about you, Generation Zs. There's so many cool things, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You guys live off of your emotion. You live off whatever you feel, you determine that's what's good for you. Let me tell you about feelings and emotions. You can look at me and go like, hey, you're a pretty emotional guy. Oh, I am. I'm an extremely passionate guy. But I'll tell you something I learned. Emotions make great engines, but terrible pilots. I want everyone to hear what I just said. Feelings make great engines, but terrible pilots. Don't you ever put your feelings behind the steering wheel of your life. Because if you ever put your emotions behind your steering wheel of your life, you are going to go for a crash. Now, you got to have emotion and passion. Look at me. Brother Charlie, you are like really emotional. Oh, I am. But I don't let the feelings determine the direction I'm going.
I let the feelings get me there, but I don't let my feelings determine my direction. Are you guys with me, young people? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Some of you have no control over your emotions. And one day you come, oh, hey, don't talk to her today, man. She's having one of those days. What's with that? You say, yeah, some of you guys, yeah, those girls are all drama. No, no, let me tell you, I was the dean of students for 8 years. I'm telling you right now, guys are as much drama as girls are. You know what? Control your emotions, man. You show it on a basketball court, you get a bad call, you throwing the ball down, you're all angry. You don't have any control of your anger. No, 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 don't give me this thing that's all girl thing. No, 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 you don't have temperance. Boy, Brother Keller, I'm not doing real good in adding to my faith. I know. Add to your faith a virtue, and a virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience. Steadfast endurance. Let me tell you how this word was used. It was used for the marathon runners in Greek. And it was they would stay steadfast, enduring, and remaining under it. How long's a marathon, guys? 26 miles, 385 yards. At the 20-mile mark, the laxative acid begins to form in your legs, and it's like needles. It's like needles. 22 miles. 24 miles. Oh, man, I can't handle the pain. Oh, it's just like needles going in my 25 miles. 26 miles. I got 385 yards to go. Patience. You remain under, and you don't quit. Brother Shetler, this past summer I went to camp. Great. Praise the Lord. I'm all about camps. And I made a decision. Praise God. Keep making decisions. But I didn't last a week. Yeah, you know why? Because you don't have patience. You don't have steadfast endurance. And you think to yourself, you know what? Maybe my problem is I've never been saved. Because I start something, but I never finish it. No. You need to add to your faith patience. You start something, you stay committed to it, man, and you have some grit, and you don't give up. Add to your faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness. Real quick on this one. This is such a good one. God-likeness. Okay, so I have a very fair complexion. You guys can see that. And I know, you guys got an old fat white guy preaching to you today, okay? But I got a really fair complexion. If I'm out in the sun, you know I've been out in the sun. So when I pastored for 25 years, Saturday was my day of Shabbat, rest, and get ready. I would make visits in the morning, and then I would spend my whole Saturday afternoon studying most of the time. But once in a great while, I would go golfing. Someone would say, hey, pastor, I'd like to take you golfing. No, I can't do it. I'll pay. And okay, let's go. And once in a great while, I did live in Pensacola, Florida, and Santa Maria, both on the beach. And I love the beach. And so I said, okay, we'll go to the beach. You know, my boys, come on, Dad, come on, one Saturday. I said, okay. And without a doubt, the next day at church, without a question, I'm telling you, I'm not giving you any exceptions. Every Sunday after I either went golfing or I went to the beach, I'm in the foyer shaking hands afterwards. Hey, pastor, good message. Did you go to the beach yesterday? Yes. How do you know? It's all over your face, man. It's all over your face. Hey, pastor, yeah. Hey, that was a great message. Hey, did you go golfing yesterday? Yeah, I went golfing yesterday. How did you know I went golfing? Man. Your face is beet red, man. Your face is beet. Brother Shadow, why don't you wear a hat? Don't go there, okay? How about sunscreen? Don't talk about all that stuff. I'm just telling you. I'm out in the sun, and the next day, it's all over me. Hey, you know what? Godliness. God-likeness. So is there any sunburn, S-O-N, on you? Can people look at your life and go like, whoa, she is with God. Man, that guy's godly. He's like God. You can tell when Shetler's been out in the S-U-N. And you should be able to know when you've been with the S-O-N. And there ought to be a look in you. godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Come on. Some of you bully each other. Some of you pick on each other. And in your little teeny Christian school, you got your little cliques. And there is not brotherly kindness. And come on, you treat those junior hires like trash. Well, that's what happened when I was a junior hire. Well, why don't you add to your faith brotherly kindness? And why don't you be the junior and senior class that goes, you know what? The spirit in our school is going to change. And we're going to love one another. And we're going to be kind to one another. And we're going to forgive one another. I ain't forgiving her. Ain't no way. What she put on Facebook about me, what she put on Twitter, what she put on Instagram about me, ain't no way I've ever forgiven her. Then I just tell you this. You're not adding to your faith brotherly kindness and charity. Young person, you go like, Bill Jeller, like, I'm totally failing this add to your faith stuff. I know. And that's why you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. Now, everyone hear this, because we're closing now, and you guys have done a phenomenal job listening. But you guys got to hear the next 5, 6, 7 minutes. You got to hear this. Now, listen to me. There are people in this room that you don't need to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior for the 9th time. You need to get right with God. There are young people in this room, you don't need to get saved again. You know what? I know I've received Christ, but I got to tell you, I am not adding to my faith. My problem isn't salvation. My problem is sanctification. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. God, will you give me assurance? No. I gave you eternal security. It's up to you to have the assurance of your salvation by the way you live and to put your faith in God's word and don't try to remember, I'm not sure what I prayed. I don't know what I prayed. No. Trust God for it. Did you do what God's word says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you do that? Yes. Then according to God's word, you're a child of God. Why don't you start acting like it now? You don't need to get saved. You need to get right with God. However, I truly do believe that the reason why God put this message on my heart for you all today is because some of you have never received Christ. So here's what I need you to do. Really quick, I need you to turn to 1 John. I've only got like 5 minutes. 1 John chapter 5. You guys got to see this. And I am going to ask Brother Clark to come on up here real quick, Brother Clark. 1 John chapter 5. Y'all there? 1 John chapter 5, look at verse number 11. And this, 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record, that's the Bible, that God hath given to us eternal life. And by the way, that's what you base your salvation on. You base it on the word of God, not what you feel and not what you remember. You base it on God's word. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now look at this next verse. He that hath the, everyone together, he that hath the, oh, just a little louder, he that hath the, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, everyone look this way. Everyone look this way. The question is not, are you saved or lost? No, it's not the question. No, it is. No, it's not. The question is not, are you going to heaven or hell? It's not the question. Here's the question. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Because if you've received Christ, you got life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Ask yourself this question. I don't know if I'm saved or lost. No, don't ask that. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or hell. Don't ask that. Ask this. Have you ever received Christ? Because if you've ever received Christ, you got life. And if you go like, I don't know if I ever have. Now, watch this. This will help you, and you can use this. Okay? What do I got here? Everyone together, what do I got here? Come on. What do I got? What is this? What's this?
Word of God.
Word of God. Okay, so here's what we're going to do with this. We're going to call this Jesus for a moment, okay? Which, he's the living word, okay? So we can make this. What is this?
Jesus.
Everyone together, what's this?
Jesus.
What's this? Now look what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my and put it inside of. Now watch this. Put that down for a minute. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not what? Now listen. He that hath the Son, what do you have right now?
The Son.
You have the Son. And because you have the Son, what else do you have?
Eternal life.
You got eternal life, man. You got your ticket to heaven, okay? The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Give Brother Clark a hand. Good job. Good job. All right, now listen. This is so cool. So now here we are. End of the message. We got to make some decisions. You may never hear this again. So you got to make a decision because this is imperative. Have you ever received the Son? Because if you have received the Son, everyone together, what else do you have? Eternal life, your ticket to heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you say, there's three answers. If you say, Brother Shetler, I don't have a date like you got your date. By the way, none of my family does either. They got saved. My boys got saved at 4 and 5, and my wife got saved at age 4. They do not remember the date, and they sure don't remember what they prayed. But they know that they've received Christ as their Savior. Now listen to me. If you say, Brother Shetler, I know I've received Christ. Okay, start adding to your faith now. You don't need to get saved. You need to get right with God this morning. You need to get taken care of, and you need to start adding to your faith. Number two, Brother Shetler, the reason why I don't live like a Christian is I've never received Christ. I've played the game. I go to Christian school. But I'm telling you right now, I've never trusted Christ. Okay. October 20th, 2022 can be your spiritual birthday. Today could be your spiritual birthday. You ask Jesus Christ. Now, there's one other answer, and you know what it is? Brother Shetler, I don't want to mess up your whole message. But Brother Shetler, I'm just being honest. I don't know. I really don't. I'm not trying to be hard. I just don't know if I've ever received the Lord or not. Okay, now listen to me. If after everything I have said for the last 45 minutes, if you can honestly say, I don't know, I'm going to tell you what to do. I would make today the day. I would pray to receive Christ and nail it down. If you're sitting there right now and going, I don't know. Brother Shetler, don't get mad at me, but I don't know. Okay, I'm not upset at all. That's usually the number one answer if they know that they, most people don't say, no, I know I'm not saved. No, most people will say, I don't know. So get it taken care of today. Settle that today and receive Christ and let's be done with that. But if you say, no, Brother Shetler, I have received the Lord. Okay, you need to get right with God. So here's what we're going to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. And for just a moment, I'm going to ask the faculty, administrators, pastors, everyone. For just a moment, don't worry, Pastor. We're going to see everything here in a second. Don't worry. But I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. God and I are the only ones looking. If I see your eyes open, I am going to point at you, man. Okay, so here goes. How many people in this room would say, in the quietness of this moment, you would say, absolutely, 100%, I know, Brother Shetler, wow, that was good. I cannot tell you that I've been adding to my faith, but Brother Shetler, I know that I know. According to God's word, that I have done what the scripture said, I called upon the name of the Lord. I received Christ. I know that I'm saved. I have not been what I should be, but I know that I have received Christ as my Savior. And if our bus was in a terrible accident and I went into eternity today, I know that I would go to heaven because I have asked Jesus Christ and I cannot lose the salvation that Jesus gave me. And I think I was 9. I think it was last summer at camp. I think it was this year at school. But I know that I have received Christ as my Savior. And I know that I'm saved. If that is true, would you quietly raise your hand right now? You know you've received the Lord as your Savior. There is no question about that at all. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, I'm going to come back to you guys in just a minute because some of you need to start adding to your faith. But there was a handful, and thank you, thank you, thank you for your honesty. There was a handful of you that said, I don't know if I've ever received the Lord. Hey, guys, there was a reason why you came today, and I'm telling you, it's this right now. This is why you are here. In God's providence, He is reaching out to you, 14-year-old. Come on, 17-year-old. This is it. You need. God has spoken to you. You could not raise your hand because you do not know that you've ever received the Lord. So here's what I want to do. In the quietness of this moment, nobody's looking for just a minute. Nobody's looking. If you would say, Jim, I know that I'm not saved, or I don't know, but I want to deal with this today. I want to nail this down, and I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm telling you, this is why I came today for you. God's given you another chance. Would you say today, I want to receive Christ today as my Savior? I know I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong, and I would like to ask Christ to be my Savior. I will not embarrass you. I will pray for you. Would you raise your hand right now, all over the room? Anyone at all? I have never, yeah, amen, amen, amen. Yeah, these three over here, good. In the back, 4, amen. Anyone else with these 4 young people right now? Yeah, I see that. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Brother Shetler, I do not know, and I want to nail it down right now. With these 4 young people, is there anyone else? Would you pray for me, Brother Shetler? Would you raise your hand right now? Anyone else with these 4? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I pray that I'm doing the right thing. I think that I am. Here's what I'm going to do. Right now, in the quietness of this moment, you 4, and maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you go like, man, I need to do this. Would you quietly, God knows your heart, would you quietly call out to God to save you right now in your seat? I do not believe it's little magical words of a prayer, but the Bible does say, gang, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. So I think you do have to ask Christ to save you. Would you, in the quietness of your heart, pray with me right now? I don't think it's the prayer that saves you. It's faith in Christ that saves you. But even the thief on the cross said, remember me. You got to ask God to save you, friend. Would you, in the quietness of this moment, in your heart, you don't have to pray out loud. If you have never or you don't know that you've ever received the Lord, would you pray with me right now? Dear God, I know that you love me, and I know that I have done wrong. I have sinned. And God, I know I deserve hell, but I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. And God, right now, I ask you to save me. Jesus, would you save me from my sin and take me to heaven? God, I want to live for you. God, I want you to save me. If you just prayed that and you meant that with all your heart, you say, I don't know if I've ever done that before, Brother Shetler, but I meant that and I just asked Jesus to save me. Would you look at me right now? Would you look at me? All I'm asking is, would you look at me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. That's great. Anyone else with these? Would you look at me right now? You just prayed that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Some of you that didn't raise your hand are looking at me right now. That's good. Anyone else? Anyone else? Would you look at me right now that I make eye contact with you? Amen. Praise God, buddy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is great. All right, now I want to tell you this. That is the greatest decision you will ever make in your entire life. You are now on your way to heaven because you did what the Bible said. But as many as received him, did you just receive him? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You're in the family of God now. Do not be ashamed of the decision you just made. Go to your teacher. Go to someone and say, hey, I want you to know I prayed that prayer and I asked Jesus to save me. Now, I'm going to ask this. Now I'm going to ask the teachers to look. I'm going to ask the administrators to put their heads up for just a minute. If you just prayed that and you looked at me, would you raise your hand right now? Would you raise your hand? You just prayed that? Amen, amen, amen. You just prayed that. You looked at me. Raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And right there. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. Thank you. You can put those hands down. That's great. Administrators, teachers, if you saw those hands go up, man, I encourage you, go talk to them. And guys, don't be afraid of the decision you made. That is the greatest thing in the world. Okay, but we're not done with this invitation. How many of you would say, Brother Shetler, I know I've received the Lord, but I have not been added to my faith? Wow, you nailed me on the virtue thing. Now, that was the Holy Spirit, by the way. Man, I tell you, the knowledge thing, the temperance, the feelings, I am all emotional. That's all I live by. I got to tell you, the bullying, just to be honest, I am a jerk in my school. I have hurt people. And I am not adding to my, I do believe I'm a child of God, Brother Shetler, but I have not been living the way that I ought to live. And I want to get that taken care of today. I want to start adding to my faith. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here goes. You heard this message and you go, no, I know I've received the Lord, but I need to get right with God. There are things in my life that are not right and I need to get right with God. If that's true, would you raise your hand right now, all over this room? Okay, so listen to me. No. I praise the Lord. That is the vast majority of you in this room right now. Here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to have someone, Candace is going to start playing the piano. Hold on. And when she starts playing that piano, I'm going to ask you, just get up from your seat right now. That was at least two-thirds of you just raised your hand saying, hey, I'm not adding to my faith, and that changes today. I know I'm a child of God, but I'm not what I should be, and I want you to get up and come down to this altar and ask God to forgive you for that. Just confess it to God. It'll be a great encouragement to everyone. It'll be a great encouragement. Candace, as you begin to play, get up right now. You raised your hand. I want to get this right. I want to start adding to my faith. I'm not playing games anymore. You come on down, kneel down and pray, and ask God to forgive you for what you haven't been adding to the Lord, adding to your faith. You raised your hand, come on down. Just kneel down, take a minute and pray. Amen. Father, I thank you for the tenderness of these teenagers. I thank you, Lord, that they want to start adding to their faith. And I am so thankful that you are a God that'll forgive us. There's areas in our life that are not right, and we're not adding to our faith, but we're children of yours. God, I pray that you would give forgiveness, and that, Lord, they would say, God, I have done this wrong. And I want this to change, God, in my life. I want to repent. And Lord, I thank you for the tenderness. What an encouragement to see this many young people wanting to add to their faith. And then, Lord, for I don't actually know how many, I don't know. If there was 6, 7, I don't know. But Father, for everyone who prayed to receive Christ this morning, may they let somebody know and be and rejoice. They're on their way to heaven now. And Lord, maybe people would say, oh, I thought you were saved already. Well, they got it taken care of today. Praise God for that. And I pray that you'd help them, Lord, with that. And Lord, I ask that we will never forget eternal security is your responsibility and assurance is ours. May we make our calling and election sure. And I pray, God, we'll never forget what we heard today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, hey, I want to tell you the way that you guys listened today, I give you a big man, you guys were great. I cannot wait to preach this afternoon. It's just a four-hour message, and I just can't wait. No. It's not going to be that long. But I'm telling you, that was a long doctrinal message, and you guys were in it. Now, let me just share this. We did not have the people that prayed to receive Christ come forward, and I might have made a mistake with that. Do not be ashamed. By the way, let's give those people that today is their spiritual birthday. They asked Jesus to save them, and they got it settled. Let's give them a hand. That's the greatest decision that they'll ever make. And if you hear about someone in the school today, hey, did you hear? He got saved today. Man, go to him and say, hey, that's the greatest decision ever, man. By the way, that's brotherly kindness. That's charity, man. Encourage them in that. Oh, I thought you were saved. No, don't say that. Yeah, they may have thought that too. And today, God revealed to them, no, you know what, I don't know, and I want to get that nailed down. And you know what, for the tenderness that we just saw down here, God's going to do something this afternoon. I am so pumped of what God's going to do today here. Thank you guys for coming, and thank you for listening the way that you did. You were fabulous. Amen. Come on, Bahamians. Amen. All right, thank you so much.